Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from the SDPB Black Hills Bureau. We're inside the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio, and we're taking this hour to talk about leadership and innovation and improving lives through technology. And joining me now is Sean Anderson. He's with BC9 Creations. It's an international 3D printer company based in Rapid City. Welcome back, Sean.
Thank you, Lori.
Last time we talked to you, it was the enormous... I'm going to forget. This is the coding competition. I forget what it was exactly called.
The ICPC, yes.
And you were printing out little 3D versions of Mount Rushmore with people's faces on them.
We did. We teamed up with some of the organizers of that to scan in the faces of all the team members and place them on Mount Rushmore and then print them out to send home with each of the team members, so they had a little something to remember South Dakota
by. How did that sort of massive effort go? Was it, there was a lot of pressure on to get that right?
It was a tremendous team effort. As I mentioned, we had some folks who were ICPC organizers that did all the scanning, and three or four of our employees who worked diligently to make sure all those scans got laid out and printed, and then the ICPC folks took over making sure they all made it to the right hotel rooms, and each team member went home with one. But it was pretty amazing when you think of the number of little Mount Rushmores that we printed. I think it was about 450 over the course of a day and a half. And in the 3D printing world, to crank out that kind of volume of a fairly precise part in that short of amount of time is pretty significant.
Tell me a little bit about your company. Let's talk an overview. Right here, based in Rapid City?
Based in Rapid City, a great example of all of the neat things that make South Dakota and Rapid City special coming together. So our founder was a B-1 bomber pilot at Ellsworth Air Force Base. He and his wife fell in love with the Black Hills and decided when they got out of the Air Force to stay here and raise their children here. Literally started the company in their basement. Sounds more like a Silicon Valley story than a South Dakota story, but used the crowdfunding site Kickstarter to launch the company in their basement about 5 years ago, and went from being a, you know, something Mike and his son and their wife worked on to two successful rounds on Kickstarter, moving into the Black Hills Business Development Center about 3 years ago. And I believe this week we just added our 25th employee. Wow. With one more to start yet this month. So it's been a real exciting ride, and I think it's a great example of just the tremendous potential that exists here in Western South Dakota.
Why stay here? What was the opportunity there? Was it just, you know, a connection and now I live here, I'm part of the community, or were there business reasons to really stay here and look to the future?
Combination of the two. So for Mike Joyce, our founder, Scott Reisenauer, our chief operations officer, and myself, we've all obviously lived other places, have had careers other places, but, you know, picking on me a little bit, I came back to South Dakota. I was one of those kids who, you know, got an engineering degree, went to the School of Mines, moved away, lived a bunch of different places, always wanted to come back, but it was hard to find the right opportunity. Eventually, you know, the good Lord brought that into being, and 5 years ago moved the wife and kids back to Rapid City. But, you know, all three of us as the owners of the company are committed to keeping the business here. Part of our goal is to create jobs and create opportunity here so that more and more of our residents have the chance to have a high-tech career with professional development, et cetera, that they don't have to leave Rapid City or South Dakota for. So personally, quality of life and all those things were important. But from a business standpoint, when you look at the access to technology professionals here, when you think about, you know, frankly, a very low cost of doing business here, and, you know, our confidence in our ability to attract the right workforce skills and grow the company was quite high. You know, if we were a 1,000-person company, thinking of doing that in Rapid City would be more challenging. But coming from where we were to, you know, being a 20, 50, 100-person company, we feel like that runway and the tools and the resources we need to get there are available to us here.
Why 3D printing? What is it about that sort of says growth and says, you know, really being of service to people and solving problems?
Well, it's a couple of things. So if the general concept of manufacturing hasn't changed fundamentally since, you know, most people would think of Henry Ford and the assembly line and this concept of mass production. And, you know, Henry Ford had the old saying, you could have your car in any color you wanted as long as it was black, right? Because they were rolling hundreds of them off this production line and they needed them all to be the same to do that. You know, we hear so much about how purchasing habits have changed and now people don't want the mass-produced product. They want what we refer to as mass customization. So everyone wants something that represents them, that represents who they are, or whether that's in a piece of jewelry or whether that is a car, you name it. And part of what's so cool about 3D printing is it enables the high-speed production, yet with a customized element. So you can truly take that concept of, we're going to build hundreds of thousands of something, but we need certain parts of it customized to a customer, and actually bring that into reality. Whether that's, you know, current applications would be the way that custom jewelry is produced, bringing the cost down, bringing the wait time down, and making that accessible to more and more people. To, 3D printing is used to produce custom soles for shoes for Nike and Adidas. All kinds of things going on, but it all, though engineers tend to be in the middle of it, the biggest opportunity around 3D printing is really changing the way customers get what they want from a given company and being able to get it their way.
How much of growth and innovation is being pushed forward just by the people who have ideas for how to apply this? So you see the technology, but you don't necessarily have the imagination to say what else can we do with this other than, you know, the five things that come to your mind right away. How much is being driven by people who have these interesting ideas of application?
You are hitting the nail on the head, because 3D printing has actually been around since the 80s. A guy named Chuck Hull invented it. And being an engineer, I'll pick on us a little bit, that we tend to find a tool that's really good at something, and we tend to keep using that tool for the same thing. It's making 3D printing more accessible in terms of bringing the cost down, improving the ease of use and the customer experience, that's enabling people in marketing, people in other types of roles to get their hands into 3D printing, people who have ideas about how they can change their company's customer experience using this type of technology. And that's a lot of what's driving the growth. And I think we are just scratching the surface. If you think of something like Federal Express, how much of what they ship every day is primarily made of plastic and could fit in a box, 6 inches by 6 inches by 6 inches? A lot. With 3D printing, what if we were just emailing the files and we weren't shipping those things all around the world? And if you had a company that sold, iPhone cases, and I buy one from you, instead of sending me the case, what if you sent me the file so I could print the case? A lot of changes coming that'll be enabled by that kind of technology.
So what kind of, we talked a little bit with the School of Mines and Technology about the engineering education, but once you're out, once you're in this business world, what sort of culture is what I'm trying to ask? What sort of culture do you need to develop to sort of come up with those innovative ideas, to have those conversations with customers and within the organization?
That's a great question, and I was so encouraged to hear in your previous segment some of the things that that are being focused on here at the School of Mines with regard to entrepreneurship and things beyond just the engineering principles in the classroom. We tell all of our young engineers, and frankly remind ourselves as the older engineers, that a good idea that can't be communicated isn't worth very much. So the ability to communicate, the ability to think big picture in terms of understanding not just how could this impact what I'm doing right in front of me, but how could this same technology or this same concept leveraged across, whether it's other industries, other roles, make a difference for people. And when we think about, we consider ourselves experts in the technology, but we really look for those strategic partners who have deep expertise in the application of that technology in a given field. Such as the dental field, for instance. We're engineers, we're software guys, we're experts in that, but finding people who can help you translate your technology into those other fields is key, and our technical folks have to be able to do more than, and again, I really appreciated their perspective when they spoke about it's the outside the classroom things. It's how do you connect, how do you share ideas, how do you communicate, do you grasp, business impact? Things like that are the difference between, a good engineer and a great engineer in this day and age.
International sales right now.
International sales are a little more than half our company at this point.
What can you tell me about how you get from that point A to point B? How do you get from, you know, we're a company out of Rapid City to we're an international company with such a large, you know, amount of business being done overseas?
You know, it's a lot of challenge, but also a lot of fun. And really it takes the willingness to identify partners who, you know, if we have a dealer, for instance, in Spain and in the UK, who understands the market there and can take our technology and, you know, software, hardware, et cetera, and use it to help people see how to create value there. And, you know, we've got an outstanding team who, you know, pretty exciting stories of people who started with us as interns, you know, marketing or mass comm interns at Black Hills State, who now are, you know, leading our global dealer network, or in charge of marketing around the world, you know, partnering with our dealers in those different countries. But you've got to be willing to take some risk. You've got to be willing to get to know, you know, people from different cultures and understand their world, and let them really guide you in how to help them. Because when you start talking about, you know, how do we bring our technology to market in, you know, some country on the other side of the world that, you know, we may not even speak the language, you really have to trust that partner and let them guide you in how to bring value to that market. So it's, you know, that collaborative mindset and willingness to learn. And then, you know, going slow, building trust as you develop any other relationships. Those are really the key.
When we talk about trade agreements like NAFTA and TPP and the impact on the agriculture industry in South Dakota, what's the impact of those kind of trade deals on your company?
So for us in particular, you know, when you think about NAFTA and TPP, I think the immediate impacts are relatively small. The key when we start to talk about international trade is really understanding things such as, you know, where is the intellectual property coming from and how do we protect that? And then where are the goods going to be produced? So, you know, for instance, if you, anybody owns an iPhone, you look on the back, it says designed in California, produced in China, right? The reason for that typically is intellectual property laws are so much stronger here in the United States. So if I have an idea, if I have an innovative technology, you know, I want to patent that here first and then expand that patent internationally. So for companies like us, the intellectual property side of those trade agreements and really pushing some of those countries that frankly have not had great intellectual property protections to beef that up is key. You know, how the goods flow back and forth across the borders has not been a huge challenge for us. You know, there's certainly countries around the world that we're not allowed to sell things to for defense or security reasons. But other than that, you know, we've been able to overcome those obstacles fairly readily.
How about within the state of South Dakota? What's the business climate like? Are there policy things that you really would advocate for?
You know, we have a lot of good things going in South Dakota right now. We have benefited from a number of things that, whether it's through Governor's Office of Economic Development, the Black Hills Economic Development, you know, Center and Foundation, I'm seeing things going on now that are helping drive growth and create jobs here that I really haven't seen South Dakota do before. And everything, you know, the simple things, a great program like Dakota Seeds that helps, you know, incentivize companies to hire those interns during college and then turn those positions into full-time roles, to, you know, microloan programs and other things that are available. I think the business climate here now is fantastic. Are there things that we still need to improve? Sure, but I think we're in a much better place than we were 10 years ago.
Sean Anderson is with B9 Creations. It's getting a little dark outside. Sean, what do you think? We're moving further into the eclipse, so thank you for sharing it with me.
Well, thank you, Lori, and appreciate the opportunity to spread some of the good news of what's going on here in West River, South Dakota.